You don't know what to do, you're hungry, you haven't got any money, right?
Yes, how did you know?
Everyone starts like that, and now you want to break into the cliques, right?
The cliques?
She rolled her eyes deep within their black circles.
Moving pictures!
Oh. I do, he thought. I didn't know it, but I do. Yes, that's why I came here. Why didn't I think of that? Yes, he said. Yes, that's what I want to do. I want to, break in. And how does one do that?
One waits forever and ever until one is noticed.
The girl looked him up and down with unconcealed contempt.
Take up carpentry, why don't you? Hollywood always needs good wood butchers.
And then she spun around and was gone, lost in a crowd of busy people.
Thank you, Victor called after her. Thank you.
He raised his voice and added, I hope your eyes get better. He jingled the coins in his pocket.
Well, carpentry was out. It sounded too much like hard work. He tried it once, and Wood and him had soon reached an agreement. He wouldn't touch it, and it wouldn't split.
Waiting forever and ever had its attractions, but you needed money to do it with. His fingers closed around a small, unexpected rectangle. He pulled it out and looked at it. Silverfish's card. Number 1, Holywood, turned out to be a couple of shacks inside a high fence. There was a queue at the gate. It was made up of trolls, dwarfs, and humans. They looked as though they had been there for some time. In fact, some of them had such a naturally dispirited way of sagging while remaining upright that they might have been specially evolved descendants of the original prehistoric queuers. At the gate was a large, heavy-set man who was eyeing the queue with the smug look of minor power wielders everywhere.
Excuse me, Victor began.
Mr. Silverfish ain't hiring any more people this morning, said the man out of the corner of his mouth. So scram.
But he said that if ever I was in...
Did I just say scram, friend?
Yes, but...
The door in the fence opened a fraction. A small, pale face poked out.
We need a troll and a couple of humans, it said. One day, usual rates.
The gate shut again. The man straightened up and cupped his scarred hands around his mouth.
Right, you horrible lot, he shouted. You heard the man.
He ran his eyes over the line with the practiced gaze of a stock breeder.
You, you, and you, he said, pointing.
Excuse me, said Victor hopefully, but I think that man over there was actually first in the queue.
He was shoved out of the way. The lucky three shuffled in. He thought he saw the glint of coins changing hands. Then the gatekeeper turned an angry red face towards him.
You, he said, get to the end of the queue and stay there.
Victor stared at him. He stared at the gate. He looked at the long line of dispirited people.
No, he said. I don't think so. Thanks all the same.
Then beat it.
Victor gave him a friendly smile. He walked to the end of the fence and followed it. It turned at the far end into a narrow alley. Victor searched among the usual alley debris for a while until he found a piece of scrap paper. Then he rolled up his sleeves. And only then did he inspect the fence carefully until he found a couple of loose boards that with a bit of effort let him through. This brought him into an area stacked with lumber and piles of cloth. There was no one around. Walking purposefully, in the knowledge that no one with their sleeves rolled up who walks purposefully with a piece of paper held conspicuously in their hand is ever challenged, he set out across the wood and canvas wonderland of interesting and instructive kinematography. There were buildings painted on the back of other buildings. There were trees that were trees at the front, and just a mass of struts at the back. There was a flurry of activity, although as far as Victor could see, no one was actually producing anything. He watched a man in a long black cloak, a black hat and a moustache like a yard brush, tie a girl to one of the trees. No one seemed interested in stopping him, even though she was struggling. A couple of people were in fact watching disinterestedly, and there was a man standing behind a large box on a tripod turning a handle. She flung out an imploring arm and opened and shut her mouth soundlessly. One of the watchers stood up, sorted through a stack of boards beside him, and held one up in front of the box. It was black. On it, in white, were the words, No, no. He walked away. The villain twirled his moustache. The man walked back with a board. This time it said, Aha, my proud beauty. Another of the seated watchers picked up a megaphone.
Fine, fine, he said. Okay, take 5 minutes break and then everyone back here.